Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara from the top of Mem Gimel and Aleph of the words of Bishlam at the very top. Our learning is once again sponsored. Le'ilu Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov and Hashemesh and Avaliyah. Again, the Gemara is discussing the Mishnah in the end of Mem Beis and Beis, which was talking about if someone is Moder Nerme Chavero, then you shouldn't borrow from him and he shouldn't borrow for you. And the same thing with regards to Halva, you shouldn't lend him and he should not borrow from you. So the Gemara points out, Bishlama lo yalvenu. Now, I understand why the Madir is not allowed to lend money to the, if Reuven was no derana, that Shimon was not allowed to have enough from him. So it makes sense why Reuven is not allowed to lend Shimon any money, dekamahanile, because by doing so, he, the Madir, would be giving benefit to Shimon to be able to get, let him have money now. That makes sense. That's a benefit for him. Eva loyvenamin of a why. Again, Reuven only said that Shimon can't have enough from him. Why can't Reuven, makamahanile, why can't Reuven borrow? Why Reuven, who made the neder, not borrow money from Shimon? Why wouldn't that be the case? My kamanale, exactly what exactly is the benefit is Reuven giving to Shimon when Reuven borrows from him? He's not giving him benefit. Shimon's giving him all the benefits. So lechora, this should be problematic. So the Gemara says, "Avishlam aloy velmeinu." Now I understand also why the Mishnah says that the Madir is not allowed to borrow money. Similar thing, "Veloy kachimino," not allowed to buy from him. Because the Shimon would be benefiting from Reuven in those circumstances. So at the end of the day, we understand specifically those cases. That would be the point. So this again, this is going to be when the Madir borrows, even if that case where the Madir is borrowing worse coins and repaying with better coins. So then I can understand that you would be even in that case. It makes sense that that would be problematic. So over here. Also, you could be benefiting. Also, if a thing is an item which is just average, people don't necessarily run and try to get it. So buying it, obviously, is benefiting the seller. So therefore, I understand those cases. But the Madir is not allowed to borrow things from Shimon. Again, it's difficult. Example, from the subject of the Neder, that would be l'chora problematic because what's the problem? What's the issue with him, with the person Shimon? Again, the only problem is Reuven says he is not going to give Hana to Shimon. So if he's borrowing an item from Shimon, Shimon's giving Hana to Reuven. That's not part of his Neder. What's the problem over here? So you have to return the item that you borrowed. There's no benefit from borrowing and giving it back. So says the Gemara, maybe we can explain on Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Kigon, Shinaju, Ana, Zemize. Then the Mishnah must be talking about a case where each one was madir enough from each other. So according to this answer, there would be no iser for a madir to borrow from Reuven to borrow anything from Shimon. Our Mishnah is just telling us this halacha only when they are going to be a counter neder from Shimon also is madir enough from Reuven. And then the point of the Mishnah would just be telling you that there, lechora is be obvious. That's a question. What exactly would be the chiddush? The Ron's answering that the Mishnah is teaching you that benefits us are because maybe you would have thought that a minimal benefit is going to be not a problem. So therefore we're saying that even vitor, a small type of benefit, who is son, daflam and base, is going to be usher to each other. So that's the chiddush, meaning because if they're both madir enough from each other, then obviously they can't borrow. No, the point is that even this small enough, just borrowing and giving it back, that is all the problematic. That submission is coming to teach you the chiddush according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Abaye gives a second answer. It says Abaye Amar gzeira lishol mishum lahash. You're right. Inherently, there's no issue to borrow from if Reuven's going to borrow from Shimon, because he only said that that Shimon's not allowed to be neder from him. So if he's neder from Shimon, that's not part of his neder. So really, he can borrow. However, we're afraid that people are going to get confused. That this is actually the case. The case only when one made the neder from the other, but we're going to make a gzera darabanan that made v'chin mikulo gzera. All of them are going to be a din darabanan that the issue to borrow money is similar. Also, that we're afraid that if you allow him to borrow money, people are going to get confused, and then he's going to eventually lend money, which obviously is usher because he says he's not allowing to benefit. He's not allowing Shimon to benefit from him. Reuven really inherently would be allowed to borrow, and Reuven would allow to borrow an item or money, but since at the end of the day we're afraid of the gzeirat rabbanan, that was the issue over here. The Ran points out that the issue to buy, is part of the gzeirat, the takana. The Mishnah is speaking of a case where the item being sold was must you have to assume that dafka is something which a lot of people want. Since it could be easily sold to somebody else, the sale is going to be considered a benefit to the buyer. So that's the point of here, that the madir is not allowed to buy is only, that's a dindarabanan, confusing buying and selling. So Ron points out that if that's how you explain the Gemara lechora has a problem, because the Gemara earlier told us that someone is madir or not from Yisraelim, he's allowed to sell another Jew. So why is there an issue of selling? Why don't we have the same zero derabanan over here, lest you come to get confused between buying and selling? So the Ran answer is that when it comes to that din over there, if we would ask the person to sell anything to any Jew, because they're going to come get confused, and then they're going to come to be selling him things and giving him anah, so that if that's the issue, if that zero would apply, then we would be a very difficult for him to be able to keep that halacha because he's not able to sell to any Israeli. In our case, where the issue is he's aser only for this one person, then we don't make such a gzera. So again, in that case where he's aser Israelim, the Ran's asking, why don't we say the same halacha that he should be aser to sell things? Because the only issue is when they sell to him, because they're being nana from him. But if he's selling to them, they're not considered a nas, so we don't make a gzera there. So the Ran answer is that we don't make a gzera because if we asered him on all Israelim, that would be too hard of a gzera for him to keep. Okay. The next part of our Mishnah, the ratio of our next Mishnah really is a agav point, because it's discussing alone, then we're going to get back into the halachas that more are related to the subject of our parak. Amar lo shilene parascha. So a person says to his friend, please lend me your cow. And it's just because it has to do with halva, we mentioned it. Amar lo eini pnuyo, he says, I'm sorry, I can't, I need it right now. Amar kodem sadish ani choresh ba la'olam, Amar kodem sadish ani choresh ba la'olam. So in response to this Madir's point, the person who was potential borrower was, so there's two different explanations on him. Many explain that he was very upset by what he said. He was so upset that he wanted to use it. So therefore, in his anger, he made this neder that he says that my field is my konam, my ever using, my plowing with this specific cow. So then that would be one explanation. The others explain, no, that he was just trying to show, meaning that others explain, the Meiri, others, that really the person borrowing it really was the person giving it out or potentially giving it out was afraid that the person borrowing it was going to use it for specifically for plowing. He was afraid that using it for plowing is not what he wanted his cow to be using. So the Beer Svar to show him 100% that he wasn't planning on using it for that purpose. So then he made a neder to never plow his field with it. So then what happens? The owner then subsequently agreed that the cow he lent it to the borrower. So he ended up lending it to him. So now, if the owner's general derech was to plow the field himself, who aser v'cholam mutarim? He's aser to plow it, but everyone else is permitted to plow with it for him. Since he generally plows the field to himself, so when he says, she'ani chorishpa, my plowing with this field, is to mean literally that he will personally not perform this activity. If he does it with somebody else, that would be mutter. That's not part of his neder. However, im andar kalachos, he generally does not plow it. So when he said the lashon of she'ani choreshba, he meant everybody who works for me also. Nobody's going to be using your cow to plow my field. Who v'chol dam asurin? Him and everybody else is usher to plow the field with this specific cow, because clearly he meant that everybody around him is not going to be doing it. If he specifically said him and he generally is the one who plows, then he can mean in his neder that he only meant himself. But if it's really something that he generally never did, so clearly he meant all of his workers, anybody with him would not be plowing this field either. Fine, that was the first agav halacha of our Mishnah. Now we're back into the general topic of our discussion of this parak, is the halachas, someone who's usher by a neder from benefiting from another. Over here, you have Reuven who usher's anah. He's not giving any anah to Shimon, and Shimon has nothing to eat. So what are you supposed to do? So he can go to the local grocery store, the storekeeper, who he generally goes to, that's the lashon that many have in the Rishonim in Mishnayos in Haragil Etzlo, is the lashon that many have in the Mishnayos in Ksubis. So in the Gemara in Ksubis over there, talks about this very case in Parak HaMadir. So the Mishnah says that you can go to the local makolet, v'omer ish ploni mudar anami mani, should say mudar anami. So you say, Shimon, I asked Shimon for benefiting from me. That's Reuven made the neder, Shimon shouldn't benefit from me. V'ene adam, I have no idea what I'm going to do. So obviously the makolet owner, he knows you very well, so he clearly understood the hint. Basically, it's kind of like a mirla nachri. Oh, it's so hot in here, and they end up turning on the air conditioning. Okay, so that's a shayla. When is that permitted? If it's litzorech of for you, if they're doing it for you, it's always usher, unless you have special aterim that it's like turning off the light. If you say, oh, it's very light in here, and they turn it off. So that's Derech Remez. You avoid. There's two issues of, I'm getting off topic a little bit, but just once I mention it, you should know the halacha, that there's two Isurim, people are a little, I think, aren't aware of this. There's two Isurim when it comes to Mir Lenachri. The one Isur is telling him directly Derech Tivoy to do something, so people usually are more familiar with this halacha, that they know that you can't directly tell him to turn on the air conditioning for you, or to turn on the light for you, etc., whatever it might be. There's a second issue, which, you know, very problematic for most Amir al-Nakhri is going to be this, unless you have a special heter, you can't really do the Amir al-Nakhri, is that if the person, even if it's not Derech Tzivoy, but he specifically does this malacha, the goy does this malacha for you, so then that's another issue. That's the halacha of the goy doing it, and that's also considered Amir al-Nakhri. So if you say, oh, it's really hot in here, and he turns on the light, so as he turns on the AC for you, so since he's turning it on for you, that's very problematic. Unless it's really hot where you're going to have Oneg Shabbos issues with your other heter of the Tzorach Mitzvah, but that's Be'etim a problematic thing that you should realize that. Turning on the light also is a similar thing. Unless it's pitch black, you can't eat your meal there. Different things like that. But Be'etim, to have him do Malacha for you, even if you're doing it Derech Remez, is still problematic. So anyway, I was just mentioning that because it reminded me of Derech Remez, where you say over here, oh, I don't know what to do. So what happens? So the guy gets the hint. The Makolah owner gets the hint. He's allowed to give the guy food. He's allowed to collect payment. The makolot is going to collect payment from Reuven. So the point that the Rishonim point is obviously you cannot demand payment. That's the whole point over here. The makolot owner cannot come to Reuven and say, "Hey, you told me that if I give him $500, you know that you don't know what to do, and you clearly meant you're giving it to me." Al pi halacha, he cannot forcibly collect him. So that's why it's really not like Reuven be'etzem is giving money to Shimon or benefiting Shimon, because at the end of the day, since Reuven can't, since the makolot owner cannot demand payment from Reuven, it's not like he's directly giving him, and that would be okay. And this again is going to be a case even if it's regular letzlo, even if he's generally extends him credit, since this derech remez does not obligate a chiyuv to pay, and therefore it would not be an issue, and therefore you're not allowed to be forcibly playing it. And then the Mishnah says also, if you say kola mafsid eino kola kolazan eino mafsid, if you say the lashon of someone who's going to give him food is not going to lose, the Mishnah, that was the Gemara in Ksubas, told us that we would say kol shekein, that would be okay, because there you don't even know him and the person has no idea who you are, so then again he's going to come to you and say, hey, you said I'm not going to lose out if I give him the $300 to go buy food, and now I want my $300 al pi halacha, and since in based and you cannot demand that money, therefore, it's going to be okay over here. So that was what the Mishnah says. Hayo Beisel Livnos, and now the Mishnah continues that even if it's not as chamor, as we're showing to point out, this case is not as chamor, because here he just wants to build his house. He has somewhere else to live. Or Gadol Ligdor just to put up his fence, Sadeh Ligdor to harvest his field, and he has no way to pay workers. Holech Itzel Apolim, he can go to the workers and he tell them, the Omer Ish Ploni Mudraman, and he says, ah, I made an Isra Neder to benefit from Shimon benefiting from me. Ve'ina Demaase, I have no idea what I'm going to do. Ve'ina Sinimo, so they get the hint, and they start working. And also here again, the Chiddush is that this is less of a Tzorech, but even here we're going to allow this case, this Derech Haram a little bit. It's a little bit of a way, I don't have a good word for Derech Haram, it's not cheating, but it's like cheating. It's like something that we don't normally allow. Here we allow it for this case where the person needs it. Fine. So you don't have this case of the store owner, you don't have the workers over here to work with it. So they were going on the road, and he doesn't have what to eat. And Shimon needs something to eat. He wants to give him food. So what could you do? No sin la'achad mishumatana. So here he could give to, there's Levi involved. Levi is not moder enough from Shimon or anything like that. He doesn't have any neder on him. So he gives it fully as a gift to Levi. And then Levi is permitted to eat it if he so chooses. And if he wants to give it to him as a gift, that is going to be permitted as well. So now, that's going to be okay. The Rishonim point out that this specific case, though, is only b'di'evit. This case is only mutter when you have no food. Because since Reuven is giving money to Levi, and then Levi is giving back to Shimon, the Rabbanan generally are going to be machmer not to allow this case of Arama, except when you really need it. Because in this case, you're basically giving it more directly. In the case of the Chenveni, since over there, there was nothing actually passing directly from the Madir. He wasn't dealing with it at all. The Chenveni decided to give him his own food. You just might be paying him, so it's much less direct. That is going to be more mutter in more circumstances than this case over here. Fine. So that would be the case over there. So now the Mishnah continues that if you had imaim acher, what happens over here? There is no Levi in the picture, and they're just rocking Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven made a neder Isra Hana, that Shimon is not allowed to benefit from him. So what do you do? Maniach ala sela o ala gader. So you can put the food on a rock or on a fence. Some discuss, is it bedavka rock or fence, or something unique to it? Maybe it's something that's there actually is more of efkerus there, because potentially in those few seconds someone could take it. Okay, whatever it might be. and you put it, the item there. You say that these items are going to be hefker for anybody who wants them. And you know, though, the only person around you is Shimon. So this case, again, is only mutter where you have no other option because there's nothing to eat. And this is really bidyavid because it's not even passing anyone. It just made it hefker, but it's very much like a direct case of a neder. We'll only allow this in these circumstances. So that's making it hefker is going to remove the ownership, and that's going to be okay. However, Rabbi Yossi says it's usher. He disagrees with this. He says that if there's nobody else, you're not allowed to give it to gift. You're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara is going to explain why exactly Rabbi Yossi wasn't unhappy with this, but he ushers it. So says the Gemara now. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. My time to Rabbi Yossi, getting right into it. Why was Rabbi Yossi Asr in the last case over here? Why did he say this case is Asr? The Rishon pointed out, by the way, he seems to be only Asring this case, not the previous two. So why exactly was he so upset about this? So the Gemara says, Kasavar Hefker Kimatana. Because he holds that making something ownerless is comparable to giving it as a gift. Ma Matana Ad Aisim Rishus Nosin Rishus Mekaba. Just like giving a gift, the owner is able to retract it until he actually gives it to the person that he wanted to. So if a person says he's going to give it to another person, he can still retract it, because ain't a mekach necha v'dvarim. So just, there's no kinyan, so that's fine, as long as I don't actually give it to him. Even if I say I'm going to give it to Shimon, if I don't have someone who's zocha out for him or something like that, that's going to be clearly that's not Shimon's yet until I actually physically give it to him. Af hefker ad aisir d'rshu zaycha. So too, with regards to hefker, until it actually goes to the rishus of the one acquiring it, because according to Rabbi Yossi, that the way that property is going to not be the original owners anymore, it's when someone else takes possession of it. So he understands that when it comes to hefker, obviously I made it ownerless, but still I have the right to retract that ownerless statement until somebody comes and takes it. So it's really still directly, basically, it's definitely coming from me then. So in this case, the only way that the person got it was basically directly from me, because when he picks it up, that was the point where he's kone, but he directly was kone from me. It's no different than Ki'ilei Mamash was giving him a gift, and that's going to be Isser Hana. According to the Tanakhama, though, the moment that you're mafkir it, it's too late. You no longer can retract it, and therefore that item is... it's everybody's. You can't say now it's back to being mine. You don't have the right to do that. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's what the Gemara wants to find at this point, that you would be allowed to. Fine. So the Gemara says, Meisiv Rabbi Abi. Rabbi Abi has a kashin Rabbi Yochanan from the Breis. So the Breis is just an extension of our Mishnah, but he responded. Rabbi Yossi responds in this Mishnah. V'hala nota v'ochel. He puts it on the rock, and then he's allowed to eat it. Rabbi Yossi says it's Aser. Amar Rabbi Yossi, now we have a continuation. Emasai, when do I say that this halacha, that it's Aser, is only bisman shenidro kodem lefkero. When a person made this neder before he made the item ownerless. So Rabbi Yossi says he first was neder, Aser anah, from Shimon to benefit from Reuven. Reuven made that neder. And then they're walking together on the derech, and that's the problem over here. In that such a circumstance, Rabbi Yossi Aser is the person taking food where, in that case, he would be collecting it from his hefker. Turning on to the next number now, aval imaya hefkero kodem lenidro. But if he declared the thing ownerless before he made the neder, so it was already hefker, and later he made the neder. So how is the mutter? Then it's going to be mutter for Shimon to eat the food that he already made heter. He already made ownerless before his neder. So now the Gemara points out the Lachor, this is problematic with Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. Now, if you're going to tell me that that a person has the right, the person who makes something hefker has the right to revoke that hefkerus and say that it really is back to his, up until the point where someone else collects it. So mali nidra kodan lefkera, mali hefkera kodan nidra. What difference would it make halachically if a person is mafkir the item before he makes his neder to Shimon, that is Shimon's asur to possessions, or after? Even in the case where he makes the neder afterwards and he already had this thing was hefker, according to Rabbi Yossi, the way Rabbi Yochanan wanted to explain Rabbi Yossi, this still has shaychus be'etzem, this still has shaychus to the person who made the hefker, because at the end of the day, it's still his until Shimon picks it up. So if Shimon picks it up after he made the neder, doesn't matter, he would be neh from Reuven, according to Rabbi Yossi's explanation. This is very problematic, according to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of Rabbi Yossi. Why would Rabbi Yossi permit this, according to Shitas Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara explains them, Hu mosiv lahu mashanila, that Rabbi Abba asked the question of Rabbi Yochanan, and he himself explained the answer. Kola noder and daito al daito mash hefker, that someone who makes a neder does not have in mind which he already made hefker. In a chanami, that which he made hefker still has shaykh hastim, and he could retract the ownership of such a thing, meaning he could retract the fact that it's ownerless, rather, and he wants to take it back. He would be allowed to do so. But when he made the neder, he didn't have in mind to aser this item on Shimon. So basically, it's a technicality in the halachos of nedarim that really he could have asered this item had he had it in mind. However, since he didn't have it in mind, therefore it's not subject to the neder. But really, it really could have been. That's the point of the way explaining Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara has a problem. Meisi Rava, Rava is a kasha. Rabbi Abba's explanation of the brayso through Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says miktasa on the rishon v'kulan hasheni. So here we have to get a little bit of background. There's a halacha called a shchiv mira. Shchiv mira is a person who's on his deathbed. Person who's on his deathbed. The halacha normally is, the Rambam, the very first halacha of Mekach HaMemkar in the Rambam is, Ena Mekach Niknes B'dvarim. That the Aleph Beis of giving over an item to somebody else, of being transferring of ownership, is the transfer of ownership cannot be done through words alone. Words alone is not able to pass over an item. So the one exception to that rule, it might be another one, but the basic exception to that rule is what's called a shchimra. A person on his deathbed, Chazal HaMisakin, that anything that he does, anything that he gives over, is going to be valid even without a kinyan. Just as the declaration in the Lashon of Chazal is much like you wrote it down in a shtar and you gave it over with mesira. It's a full-fledged kinyan. It's as if it had a full-fledged kinyan. You only said something, but it's going to be that. Why does Chazal misakin that? Because they're afraid that if a person is sick and he's on his deathbed and he's afraid of all his possessions, he doesn't know who's giving it to who's Reuven's getting this, Shimon's getting that. He's afraid that people that he loves aren't going to get the things that he wants to give them. He's going to get even worse. He's going to get even more sick and he's going to die from this. So therefore, we don't want to make him even more sick and anxiety over this. So therefore, we allow this one mechanism. So now, because this is something which generally is strange type of gift, which only is derabanan. Chazar Mesakin also that if a person does recover from it, he has a miraculous recovery, so then he's allowed to retract the gift. Now it's important to note that he's only allowed to retract the gift if he didn't give away all of his possessions, because if he gave away all of his possessions, clearly he understood that he's dying. So there's a whole mekaftos. He didn't mean to give it out if he wasn't dying. However, if he only gave away, like, let's say 10% of his stuff to Reuven, so then, and he kept 90% of it forever for himself, wherever he was going to give it to. So then it clearly indicates that he didn't actually think he was dying, because he would have given everything away to his children, whoever it may have been. He would have made it very clear, if he didn't have a will, that he would have made it very clear who was supposed to go to. So therefore, since he didn't do that, the halacha would be that in such a circumstance, that matna shchimra actually would be chal, if he didn't give away everything. So that's the background that we needed for this price. So let's see the price inside. Miktas on the rishon of a kula sheni. So you have a shchimra, and he said that he gave some of his possessions to the first person. So he only gave some of his possessions to this person. So then it wouldn't have the real halacha of a matnas shchimra, because he didn't give away anything. So again, in this case, we're assuming that he wouldn't have the full tokef of a matnas shchimra, because he only gave some of it. But then he ended up giving all of it to the second person. So then he says, give all my nechasim to whatever, Shimon. So give some of them to Shimon, and give all the rest of give everything to Shimon. So that's going to be the shaila over here. Is it assumed that he was including that which he had given to Reuven also or not? That's going to be part of the shaila. So you don't need a kinyan, because again, it's his matna shchimera. So you didn't have the kinyan over here. Rishon kana, sheni lo kana. So the lach and the brisa is that the first person acquires what was given to him, even if the person gets better. However, the second person does not acquire it. So the Gemara understands, the Gemara Bava Basra explains that we're speaking of a case where the person got better, and the person who gave away his property while he was got better, he can retract the matna shchimra. But not that he gave not matna shchimra. So when he gave away only part of his possessions to Reuven, to Shimon rather, the first person, so if Reuven gave them to Shimon, so that was actually just a partial gift. So therefore, it clearly didn't mean to be a matna shchimra, because he didn't give away everything. So then when he gives the second one, when he gives the second one, we are assuming that that he didn't give him everything. He did give him everything, rather. So from the fact that he gave the second person, we assume that that was a matna shchimra, and therefore it wasn't fully going to be chal if the person got better. So if that's the case, now we're assuming that when the shchimra made his original gift to the second person, we assume that he included even the possessions that he wanted to give to the first person. Because if we were assuming that he didn't want to retract his first gift, then the halacha would be that the second gift is just an addition. So if a person gives half of his nechasim to Reuven, to Shimon, and then the other half to Levi, if Reuven did that, then the halacha would be that that's also mana shchimra, and both of them would go back because he gave away all his possessions at the end of the day. So here we're assuming that no, it must be that when the shchimra gave the second things, he actually wanted to retract his first position and not give the first guy the gifts at all. He wanted to give everything to Levi. And that is not going to be chal. That clearly was his intention. And therefore, when he gets better, it's not going to be chal. So now, why is that applied to us? So we're saying by the same inyan, you could explain that when a person makes the neder, he includes that anything is still that is still his, even if he had previously made them hefker. That's the point. That when the guy makes the neder, he should include everything that he previously made hefker. Just like the shchimra. The shchimra already gave away the items to Shimon as a present. He wanted to retract that. He had in mind when he gave away everything that he was going to retract that to when he gave it to Levi. He wanted to give everything to Levi. Now, it couldn't because he already gave it. And he gave it not as a shchimra, but as a normal present. You can't retract the normal present. But the point of our Gemara is that when a person makes a neder, including everything, he means even the things that he formerly made hefker that should be included in the neder. So therefore, that's a problem with Rabbi Abba's explanation of Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, Rava doesn't like the explanation of Rabbi Yossi according to that. So therefore, we have to explain Rabbi Yossi differently. So how are we going to explain Rabbi Yossi? It says Rava now, Ela Amar Rava, Hainu Taim Ad Rabbi Yossi. This is the explanation of Rabbi Yossi. Gzera Mishum Matnas Beis Choran. That really, it's all Gzera Derabanan because of Beis Choran. Now, what was Beis Choran? Beis Choran, we're going to get to actually soon, it's on Daf Mem Ches, is a person had asered his father from benefiting from him. So Reuven asered Yaakov from benefiting from him. Now what happened is Reuven making a chasana for his son, for his children. So since Reuven is making a chasana for his children, now he feels really badly. Now there's 80, he can't come. His father Yaakov is not allowed to come to his own grandchildren's wedding. So what does he do? So because Reuven again is providing the meal, is providing the place. So what he does is Reuven goes to his friend, not related friend, and he goes to him and he says, "Listen, Yisachar, I'm going to give you my whole field and all of the food from the banquet. I'm giving you everything in order that my father should come." He said that as part of the thing, and it's all yours now. So since it's all Yisachar's, now the father could come because he's not being neder for Reuven. He gave it over to Yisachar. It's no longer Reuven's possessions, and the neder is not chal on Yisachar's possessions. So what happened was that Yisachar knew this was all a joke, and therefore Yisachar says, "Oh, if it's really mine, then I'm going to be maktish it." And Reuven started yelling at him, "What do you mean you're maktish it? I need it for the chazan. It's not actually yours. I only had this because I wanted my father to come." And based on the halacha of Beis Choron, it was clearly showing that he was just trying to make this big harama that wasn't allowed in terms of his neder, because he was trying to get around his neder. So now, basically what comes out from that is that in the case of the Mishnah, also, the madar, making the food ownerless, it's only to allow, if Reuven makes this neder against Shimon, it's only allowed to Shimon to eat from him. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi understands that midar abanan, that you're not allowed because we're afraid of Beis Choron, that really it's not actually a real hefker. You're not actually being mafker at all. So Rabbi Yossi would agree that hefker would make something ownerless immediately, and therefore it's not yours, but since over here it's a big harama, Rabbi Yossi would say that this is problematic. So that's we understand that that would be the point. So the what would come out of Rava Lachora is that Rabbi Yossi would also ask for the Mishnah's previous thing about giving to your friend as a gift and then giving it to the other person, because that's very similar to Matnas Bechoran. And in Echanami, the Rashba says that she just Rabbi Yossi, he'd be Machmir. So we are chozer on our previous point that Rabbi Yossi would agree with that halacha. According to the way we're explaining Rabbi Yossi now, Rabbi Yossi would disagree with that previous halacha. Okay, Bez Hashem, we have a very short daf tomorrow, so pick up with Tanya and Mirtz Hashem on tomorrow's daf.